Good evening, everyone. It is a Saturday night, November 3rd, 2018. Holy wow, did the Sharks make a flare for the dramatics in this one on Star Wars night. May the Force be with all of you in teal and in stealth jerseys. This is Teal Town After Dark, your live and interactive Sharks postgame show right here on YouTube. So do us a favor. If you want to be a part of this show, there's multiple ways to interact with us. Chat with us along with Sharks fans on the YouTube chat, on the page, or the app. By all means, join in. We got plenty of followers. We appreciate you all joining us this evening. You can also use the hashtag TealTownUSA. You can also follow us on Twitter at TealTownUSA. But do yourself a favor. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and, of course, the YouTube channel. We thank you all for watching with us. And joining me right now is Mr. Chris JWS, who is surprisingly at home.
Yeah, I'm in San Diego for 5 minutes.
And he'll be getting on a flight the second we're done here. Oh,
what a game. I get more road miles than the Sharks do, and that's saying something.
That's true. You're going to be so jet lagged come playoff time, it's not even funny.
But really, though, Star Wars Night, it seems adequate because this kind of followed the arc of Star Wars where, you know, the Rebels game beaten down all night and then at the last minute they seize victory from the jaws of defeat or whatever that expression is. But it was actually a really fun game tonight, and it had all the things that aggravate me about the Sharks this season, but it also had all that, you know, you saw the potential flash so many times.
Yeah, they definitely had a lot of flair. And definitely had a lot of chances. They couldn't bury them. Of course, it doesn't help when you start off the game pretty much virtually down 1-0. And let's get into the recap as we talk about the Sharks taking on the Flyers. The Sharks lost 2 straight at home. The Flyers were going for the California sweep, something rarely done in the past, but now might be becoming a little more frequent. And it looked like they were going to dominate this game like the Sharks dominated them in Philadelphia as Nolan Patrick gets his 4th goal of the season from Konechny and Lindholm. 37 seconds in, Chris, I was like going, oh, crap, are you kidding me? You're going to start this bad right off the get-go?
Yeah, it starts out with a turnover. I believe it was Kane. And honestly, Vlasic and Braun didn't play that as well as I usually think Vlasic and Braun would play a 3-on-1, but all, I mean 3-on-2. But also, I thought the Flyers' execution on that was perfect. Like that was a perfectly executed textbook 3-on-2, ends with a goal. I was one hand. I was a little bit down, like, oh man, here we go again. But I was like, you know, there's still a ton of time. There's still like 59 minutes to go here, so plenty of time to come back from that. It's not the end of the world. And then obviously what comes right after that, you know, before we even talk about the next goal, there were strong shift after strong shift. I believe the Meyer line was out there like next. They immediately put a chance on net that almost went in. But I'll let you get to what happened about 2 or 3 shifts later.
Yeah, and that's what we saw tonight was that Peter DeBoer put the Couture, Hurdle, and Meyer line together for the first time, I think, in this homestand this early into a game. And it made dividends as Hurdle gives a nice pass. Timo Meyer tips it in. That's right. It's Timo time in San Jose. His 10th of the season, he goes double digits to make it 1-1, 3:15 in. Hurdle and Vlasic get the assist on Meyer's 10th of the season. And, he, you know, call him Cinnamon because he's on a roll.
No. But I mean, that goal was far from a surprise because, like I said, the first shift from that line, they go right out there. They get a chance on that. Pickard makes a great save. And then their next shift, a few, you know, a minute or two later, they do cash in. And I like the Sharks' response to that first goal because I think within a few minutes of that goal, every single line had at least one chance, if not two or three or four quality looks at scoring. So I thought their response was great and they played really well for a pretty long stretch there leading up to, well, I'll let you take it.
Yep. No, thank you for this nice segue there. Leading up to Jordan Weal getting his second on the year from Simmons and Weiss. 16:40, they go in after 20 minutes down 2-1. I kind of thought that was a little bit of a weak goal, but going into after the first period, virtually giving a 2-1 shot edge, the Sharks outshot the Flyers 16-9 in the opening frame. I thought they played pretty well. They just didn't get the goaltending stoppage, I thought, from Jones early on.
Yeah, and I remember I was thinking to myself right before the Flyers scored there, I was like, it's been almost all Sharks this frame. Like, the Sharks have had it in their end. They've, and not just, like, you know, we talk about quantity, they've had quality looks constantly. And they only had one goal to show for it, but I was feeling pretty good at that point. I was like, the Flyers really haven't had much going. Then they have that shift, and, like, this is the first time in a while they've really been in the Shark zone and been able to get any pressure. And then sure enough, I don't recall who it was who lost his guy in front of the net there, but left a guy wide open in front of the net. Jones couldn't see it as far as I could tell. Maybe the replay showed something different, but that was disappointing. Cause, like, for how well they played that period, they went into the locker room down one goal still.
Yeah, and again, I didn't think there was anything down for them to get at. I didn't think there was. Yeah, you let in a goal with 3.5 to go in the first period, but I didn't think it was horrible. But you know, moving on to the second period, where the Jones made a big stop to prevent it from going 3-1 in the first minute of the middle frame, but Sharks get a power play and Joe Pavelski. From a nice feed from Kevin LeBanc, cross ice, Pavelski was wide open. Calvin Pekarek did not have a chance whatsoever. Pavs gets his sixth on the season from LeBanc and Burns. A power play goal makes it 2-2. And I thought the Sharks were coming on, even though I think shot-wise I thought they were playing pretty even throughout the middle frame.
Yeah, I thought the middle frame was a little bit more balanced back and forth, which isn't what I would want. But that power play, that execution was – I mean, I was chatting with our friend Gen X during that period, and we saw that tic-tac-toe play. I mean, that was a beautiful, beautiful pass to let Pavelski have that in there. And, you know, this is – we've seen mostly good from the power play of late. Like, it's executing. I don't know what the clip is off the top of my head, but it should be pretty near the top of the league by this point because they have been consistently getting power play goals, and I think it can be even better, honestly.
Yeah, it's been clicking a lot better. They've definitely been getting more chances on it and more quality chances. You know, I know it's been well known that, you know, they've been getting more quantity, but I also thought on the power play they've been getting more quality shots on there. I think the first one that they had that they didn't score on, they had four shots. And for Shark Squad, that usually doesn't give up shots or usually doesn't fire away shots on their power play, I thought this was a little bit of a change. So good on that. And, you know, as much as we get on Steve Spott about the power play, you know, credit to them for making some adjustments as well.
Yeah, they've definitely course corrected, and I'm just looking up right now. So they're right dead center in the middle league, at 16th. They're hitting at 20%, which I think later in the season, if they're still around 20%, they're going to be near the top, because I see a lot of percentages above them that are probably going to fall off as time goes on. But I, you know, props to them. They've gotten it right, and they did it without a lot of home games and a lot of home practices. So that's part of the reason why I think they could be even better if they really start clicking. That power play could be deadly.
Yeah, and to have the home cooking outside the upcoming back-to-back next week with Dallas and St. Louis, they'll be home. They'll be on the Pacific Coast, our Pacific time zone. Don't forget to set your clock back an hour, everyone. A little reminder there as we talk about time. But, I think a lot of these things, I think the face-offs have even been well improved since they've been back at home, where AJ and myself were talking about how they were getting completely owned in the face-off circle, especially during the last road trip.
Yeah, and looking at the final stats there, so they won a hair over 50%, like 0.8 over 50%, which, you know, that's good. That's okay. If, you know, most teams in the end, if they're, you know, winning a face-off, so it's usually like they're 52-48 or something,
right,
at the end of the season. So that's good to see. I know early on that was one of the few categories the Flyers were winning in, even in the first period. So it seems like, yeah, they seem to come on late in that respect pretty well. Just looking at the final stats, I mean, the Flyers also blocked a lot of shots, besides the fact that Sharks put a lot of rubber towards the net. Mm-hmm. Once again, a lot of shots blocked, but I mean, I think that's anytime you're throwing a lot of shots towards the net, that's going to happen. So overall, I look at the final numbers here, it's generally positive. I think there's definitely things they could do better, but I'm pretty happy with the outcome and what I saw tonight.
Gotcha. All right. Well, moving along, as we got close to the end of the period, there was a penalty upcoming against the Sharks. And unfortunately, the Flyers came in attacking. Jacob Voracek comes into the slot. He bangs it home for his fourth of the season late in the period. You know, we hate getting those late shots in into the net at 19:30 from Lindblom and Povarov. Makes it 3-2 Flyers after two periods. Even despite them being, you know, outshot 26-18, the Flyers are giving them all they could, something that they didn't show earlier in the year when they won 8-2.
Yeah, I think also part of it had to do, though, with the Sharks weren't able to cash in that first period when they were dominating the puck a lot and getting a lot of quality chances. Like only one went in. That I easily could have seen 2, 3, 4 of those go in, and then suddenly we find ourselves in a very different or familiar situation for playing the Flyers. But it seems like most of the Flyers' goals came on breakdowns by the Sharks. So that one also, there were a lot of Sharks players down low, kind of puck staring and leaving a guy wide open. And I mean, again, I have a hard time blaming Jones on any of these goals, because I think a lot of them had more to do with defensive breakdowns than with him.
Yeah. And one thing, as I kind of piggyback on towards it, I thought Jones played fairly well. I think that one goal, which I've kind of noticed he's kind of letting that little weak soft goal early on in games, but then he's usually been shut down mode since. He had a pretty decent night tonight, in at least in my thought. As many kind of, I think I even saw a couple of people on Twitter mention, and even on the Periscope with Brody and Curtis, saying that they feel a little more comfortable with Dell than Jones. And honestly, I think both of them have played fairly well. I mean, it's not to wake up Alex Martin or anything, but, you know.
Niemi. He will just magically appear on the hangout here.
Right. But I thought Jones played a decent night tonight.
Yeah, I don't. I think he has had a rough go at times, but he was not the issue tonight. And, you know, luckily we didn't have too many issues.
Yeah. Like, Dave B. Pilot mentioned, first off, a sweet pass from Kevin on the Pavelski goal. I really don't blame Jones on any of the goals, but he's paid a lot of money to stop pucks, and some of those were savable, and he didn't save them. So, yeah, it's you know, iffy here and there. But speaking of iffy here and there, let's talk about kind of the issue that the that we're looking at right now is Tomáš Hertl took a body check, and I'll see if I can pull up the GIF that I made for
While you do that, I will vamp here. No, that's
go for it.
Professional radio.
That's right.
but I you know, I looked at the replay of that several times. Honestly, I think my opinion, and we'll watch the GIF in a moment here. I thought he had his head a little too low. You know, as Gen X said when we were talking, he was kind of reaching, leaning forward for the puck. I don't think it was a dirty hit or anything like that. I think it's just kind of one of those unfortunate things that does happen. It's like, keep your head up, man.
Yeah. And so here we're showing the replay here, courtesy of NBC Sports California. Definitely gets the body first, but he definitely gets a shoulder on the chin here, and right there, you do see that the head does get contact a little bit there. He was a little woozy coming off the ice.
If anything, it looks to me kind of like the Flyers player was also lowering his body as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he was trying to go high. I mean, I think he could have ended up with a face full of shoulder if he's standing up right there on that check. So hopefully he's okay. It's not, you know, I don't know. Did you think it was a bad hit?
Well, I mean, it's a shoulder to the head, and it depends on who it is. You know, you can definitely, like I tweeted out on the Teal Town USA account, that, you know, with this hit, that means Rafi Torres was suspended another 41 games by the NHL.
Like that's basically the meme at this point. How many games would Rafi have gotten for that?
Yeah, no, but that's the thing here. You know, obviously there wasn't, you know, any malice.
So real quick on that, Kurz tweeted out about 2 minutes ago, no update about Hertl, but DeBoer confirms he got hit in the head. So, okay. I mean, what we already knew, but I don't expect to hear anything tonight about Hertl. I expect they're probably putting him in the quiet room and making sure he's okay.
And the good thing is that the Sharks have 2 days off before they play Minnesota on Tuesday. So hopefully there's something to go on there. And it is somewhat of a light week. The Sharks only play 3 games this week. So, and like Jerry F says, you know, no news on Hertl is usually not good.
I wouldn't panic about it. Like, I mean, you know, concussions are nothing to be messed with, but I mean, he doesn't have he doesn't have a history of that, or at least nothing extensive. So I would hope that he's okay in a couple of days. If he has to take a game off, that's a bummer. I mean, gives DeBoer a legitimate excuse to break up that line for once.
Right. Yeah. That's a tough one. I'm kind of going through the chat here. Noah Simkoff, Pickard's mask has gritty on it. Well, there's doomsday there for you. let's see what else we got.
So it was good to see though that we got the line we wanted. I wasn't happy with the Simela scratch, but I was happy though to see they didn't try, you know, like, I don't know. I think like Peter DeBoer overthinks this one. It's like, you have a line that is clicking, and until that line gets cold, you shouldn't break them up. Like that line was red hot. Timo's red hot. Hertl, his game is, I think, is going to the next level. Couture has always been excellent for many years now. He's always been a very underrated forward. So that line, it's clear in a way the best line on the team right now. It's not, there is no question anymore if it's the Joe's line. It is that line. That line is the number one guys, you know, whether you want to call it top line or first line or the other line or what, you know, I forget what Randy was saying about how we should, the language we should use around lines.
Line blender.
Kevin Lacey in the chat, they're saying Smell is terrible on Thursday. Should have been scratched. I'm not going to dispute that. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I'm not the biggest guy when it comes to I'm not the biggest guy when it says bench a guy because he had a bad game. I'm more of they let him figure it out. If he has a lot of bad games, maybe, you know, again, my philosophy is maybe a little bit different there. But
yeah, Laurel in the chat. Hello, chat, by the way. Well, how was the ice tonight? Was it as bad as it was claimed last game by some? If it was bad, might have been easier for his head-to-hit slush. I don't know, worried about him rambling. You know, the thing in that sense, you know, the Sharks played on Thursday night. The Barracuda played last night, beating the San Antonio Rampage 3-1, by the way. There's your Barracuda update. Kornash with a strong play in net for the Barracuda. You know, the thing is, the ice was down. It wasn't covered. I mean, granted, it's been really warm for November here in the Bay Area. So it's definitely going to have some play to it, but we shall see. Moving on to the third period, definitely going back and forth play, but they didn't get many shots off both sides. But I thought the shots that they did get, they were in it. But, you know, then out of nowhere, what is this? Joe Thornton?
That guy still plays.
That guy passed the puck to the net. That's right. Jumbo gets on the board for the first time this season. LeBanc with another nice pass from Dilly Dilly to LeBanc to Jumbo. Jumbo with a nice shot goes top shelf where Mama hides the cookies. 15:03 left, or 15:03 into the third period. This game is tied 3-3. Waka waka. Good to see Jumbo get on there and tie this bad boy up.
Yeah, I mean, what I saw from him all night, I saw. I mean, I wasn't watching him carefully all night, you know, but I saw plenty of positive play from him. So. I didn't expect him to pass to the net. I expected to pass to Pavelski or somebody for a goal, but that was good to see. We're all tied up, and I was like, okay, at this point, they get it to overtime. I like the Sharks' chances of winning, and there's nothing wrong with going to overtime against an Eastern Conference team. It really doesn't matter if you give them a point.
And speaking of Eastern, we will say hello to the angry Canadian robot, Mr. Ian Reed. Ian, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm good. I'm happy. Team won.
Chill. And somebody's bad mouthing Tim Hortons in the chat.
I know. They talk shit about Kevin LeBanc. They talk crap about Tim Hortons. It's just, I don't know. Like,
it's a free country. You're free to be wrong.
You're free to be wrong.
And with that, we will talk about overtime, all 13 seconds of it, as Timo Meier gets his 11th goal of the season from Logan Couture, wins it. Let me get my Rick Jenner in. Wins it in overtime.
Please don't do that again.
Oh, well, fine. Just wait till we get to the wraparound when I talk about Pominville. But, you know, one thing that I'm trying to scroll up to Kevin Lacey's comment early, that it was Shane Gostisbehere that kind of deflected in the shot for Timo to beat Picard. You know what? Timo, wow. His 11th of the season, that ties the league lead in goals with a handful of players that include McKinnon and company. I mean, Ian, what can you say about Timo time in overtime?
Timo Meier, that line's been really good. Him and Couture have developed some really good chemistry, and I think this is what happens when he finally gets the message that you just can't just shoot from anywhere. And I think that you've seen over the course of his short NHL career so far how he's improved his shot selection, and now that's starting to pay dividends big time this year.
So to build on that, though, and this is something me and Eric were talking about before, and this is why we summoned Ian, because we would sound like idiots talking off the top of our heads about this. Ian knows this stuff way better than we do. He is the hockey robot. So I'm looking at Timo Meier's contract, and he is a free agent at the end of the season. But what does that mean for the Sharks, our cap situation? What do we have any leverage there, and what do you think the Sharks have to do?
The Sharks have plenty of leverage because he has no arbitration rights. So he's coming off his entry-level contract this year. So really, the Sharks give him money, and he decides whether he wants to play or be Alex Nylander. I mean, that's really what it's going to come down to. I don't think that I don't think that they're going to have any issue getting Timo Meier under a decent contract. I think if you look, like, yeah, he's got a lot of goals so far, but he's also shooting, I think, just a little over 20%, which it's not going to last all year.
Yeah, it's going to regress a bit. I mean, he's still, you know, the league average is still a little under half that. So he's still going to be pretty dang good.
Yeah, I'm not saying it. I'm just saying that, you know, he might hit a cold spell and then, you know, by the end of the
season, everyone will be suddenly like, oh my God, what happened to Timo Meier?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think, like, obviously I'm happy to see how he's doing right now, but, you know, and if he can shoot 20% all year and get himself stupid money, then I guess good for him. But I don't foresee it. The Sharks historically are really ruthless to their free agents they're restricted free agents that don't have arbitration rights.
So
ask Chris Tierney about that.
I would say he's playing significantly better than Chris Tierney did. And I guess so. If we're putting it in normal people terms, so what does that process look like versus a, you know, unrestricted free agent who can just, you know, sign anywhere to the highest bidder? How will this process be different?
Obviously the Sharks are going to give him a qualifying offer. That's not what he's going to sign for. I think they'll be fair to him. I think you're going to see, you know, he's going to definitely get a pay bump. But basically, I mean, he doesn't really have any options because, in order, you know, look, a team's not going to sign him to an offer sheet because the Sharks are just going to match it unless it's just a stupid offer sheet. And then Doug Wilson's going to recoup a bunch of draft picks that he lost. Like, I don't see any way that Timo Meier A holds out and B isn't, you know, in uniform to start the season next year. It's not really, I don't think it should be a big concern for Sharks fans right now.
Okay.
That'll be the killer.
So is there a way we can predict roughly how much that'll be? Because I'm just trying to think of, like, okay, we have Carlson outstanding to re-sign. Obviously, there's going to be questions about Pavelski and Thornton. By the end of the season, maybe those won't be questions because maybe it'll be clear that we are truly post-Thornton, and maybe in post-Pavelski, maybe not. I don't know. Right. Is there a way to predict probably about how much he'll get?
I think it really still depends on, you know, I mean, obviously Erik Karlsson's had some struggles. I don't think he's been as terrible as he's been made out to be, but he's definitely
a minus 10, Ian.
I know, he's a minus 10, heaven forbid.
I'm sorry, your fancy stats are stupid, but that stat is not stupid.
Yes, we traded Chris Tierney for that. No, I think that's going to be a big factor, right? Like, if they do re-sign Karlsson, obviously that's going to have to shift how much money's left to go around. But I think that Timo Meier could probably get himself, I don't know, maybe Donskoy money.
Okay, I was mostly curious because, again, this is one of those areas where I don't fully understand how contracts work in the NHL, at least anything leading up to free agent, where it's just kind of a free for all.
Right.
Because trying to make sure I understand how that works. So basically you're saying the Sharks have leverage. We're not just going to see him walk, you know, after a big.
No, he can't go anywhere unless the Sharks trade him or he signs an offer sheet and the Sharks walk away from it. I mean, he'll be Sharks property for the foreseeable future.
Awesome. I think that'll make everyone happy to hear. And this is why we bring the smarter guy than us, because we were like wondering, like, oh my gosh, are we going to lose Timo? We were seriously wondering this beforehand. So Ian has brought his robotly wisdom down. We are all better for it. And I think, yeah, now that we are off the ledge, Ian talked us down. Should we go reach around the league or something? Or
let me just do the quick stats really quick before we get to the wraparound. Shots and goals
around.
Let's wrap around. 35-25 for the Sharks in favor of shots. Like Chris mentioned, they had a skosh of an edge of a faceoff circle, 51-49. Sharks scored the only power play goal in the evening. Both teams had three chances. Sharks to 1-for-3. Flyers were 0-for-3. Hits 28-13 in favor of Philly. Block 16-6 in favor of the Flyers. Giveaways were about even. I guess we'll call him Ian's boy, Kevin LeBanc, with two assists on the evening. That I'm sure that'll get the chat riled up now.
Kevin LeBanc defense squad.
Yeah.
Timo Meier with the two goals, including the game winner. Pavs and Jumbo, nice to see them on the score sheet as well with the goal.
By the way, Steve Cropper is telling Ian, stop wagging your tail.
Sorry.
Burns, Vlasic, and Dylan each with the assists on the defense. But Erik Karlsson, as much as he was talked about, might have said, oh my God, was a plus one on this evening. Martin Jones, 22 of 25 for a 22 save performance that saw him play the entire stretch on the night. Calvin Pickard, former Vegas Golden Knight, Calvin Pickard, or is it Picard? Not to be confused with Jean-Luc Picard. 31 of 35 on the evening for the Flyers netminder. Oscar Lindblom with two assists on the night. Patrick, Wheel, and Voracek, your goal scorers for Philadelphia. Your three stars were Timo Meier, number one, Kevin LeBanc, number two, Joe Thornton with the third star on the evening. So with that, now it
somebody
is.
Needs to move their phone away from
crap. Bzz.
Like, I know you're popular, man, but come on.
I can't help it. I'm trying to make sure I'm not missing anything.
Laurel's saying it's probably Eric's phone. AOL calling you. Want your business back.
They want that 28.8K modem back. I'm not giving it back to them.
Yeah, no, they gave you that 1,000 free hours of AOL, and you took 1,001, and they want their money for it.
Yes, absolutely.
Come around with a baseball bat and break your knees if you don't pay up.
All right, now it is time.
Duvall is saying he has flashbacks of building power lines in SimCity 2000.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Thanks. Oh, that is too good. Yes.
Oh, jeez. All right, it's time to go for the World of Hockey wraparound. We'll start last night at that same rink in San Jose. The Barracuda won 3-1 over the San Antonio Rampage. Josef Kornash with 22 of 23 saves on the evening. Lucas Rattle gets his first of the year. The game-winning goal was from Evan Weininger. His fourth from Latunov and Veal. Veal got the third goal to kind of seal it, although Samuel Blaise ruined the shutout at 15:23 of the third on a breakaway goal. It was a nice goal. I think Kornash didn't have a chance at it. But Barracuda doing very well as we go to the standings now for the Barracuda. They're still on top with 17 points in the Pacific. 3 ahead of newcomer Colorado and 4 ahead of Tucson. Now let's get back over to the NHL side as it is Saturday, so it's always a plenty of games on hand. The first one, though, oh my goodness, Buffalo whooped out a can of whoop-ass. They celebrated Jason Pominville adding one more to the population of 1,000 games. Pominville was honored for 1,000 games this afternoon, and he scored two goals along with Kyle Poso. Jeff Skinner had two, and Casey Middlestat, Patrick Berglund, and Connor Sheary also joined in the fun, along with Zygmunt Girgensons, as the Sabres whooped up on Chris Tierney, Dylan DeMello, and the Ottawa Senators 9-2. The Sabres now have 16 points on the campaign. Senators stay at 12. In Montreal, the land of battling over who really wanted Vinny LeCavalier a few years ago, the Lightning beat the Canadiens 4-1. Stamkos with two goals on the night. JT Miller with his fourth. Gord with his fifth. Max Domi, who's been doing it really well for Montreal, got the game going with his seventh goal under a minute into the game, but the Lightning stay on top of the Habs, 4-1 Lightning now at 19 points. In Detroit, again, Detroit on a roll as they beat the Edmonton Oilers. Or, I'm sorry. Let me try that again. See, I need to be at work at 4 a.m. My eyes are already going, so I apologize. In Detroit, the Oilers beat the Red Wings 4-3. Drake Cajula scored 12 seconds into the game. Wow, this is a night of early first-minute goals on the night. Chiasson Brodziak with two goals. Rockets' least favorite, Tyler Bertuzzi, gets a goal late to try to make it close, but no luck for the Red Wings. The Oilers go to 17 points as they won 4-3. In Long Island, or Brooklyn, actually, I think, the Islanders shut out the Devils 3-0. Thomas Greiss with the shutout, post-deal syndrome. Jordan Eberle with the game-winning goal, his fourth on the year. Brock Nelson with his seventh. Mayfield his second with a shorthanded goal, as the Islanders have 17 points. The Devils have now cooled off to 5-5-1. In Pittsburgh, the Maple Leafs get their first win minus Austin Matthews. That's right, San Ramon native Austin Matthews. 5-0 your score there. The Maple Leafs win. John Tavares, post-heel syndrome strikes again for Patrick Marleau. His second goal in three games. Morgan Rielly with two goals, along with Zach Hyman getting a shorty late in the game there. Frederick Anderson with the shutout over Pittsburgh as the Leafs go to 18 points. The Penguins go to stay at 15 at 6-3-3. In Washington, the Stars win in overtime 4-3. Dickinson with the game-winning goal as Holtby loses his game. The Caps now go to 5-4-3. The Stars are at 8-5 early on the campaign. For Minnesota, they also have 8 wins, and they did it with a 5-1 victory over the Blues in St. Louis. Eric Staal gets his 400th goal. Matthew Dumba gets his fourth. Former Shark Eric Fair gets his second goal of the season as the Wild go to 8-3-2. The Blues struggling at 4-5-3.
He's having a fairly good season now.
I would say he's doing fairly all right.
Yeah, the chat is off the rails at this point, talking about Fuji Golf and SimCity.
You've got SimCity. In Nashville, this was a game I believe Rocket was at tonight as they celebrate their Hockey Fights Cancer Night. Predators win 1-0. Roman Josi with the only goal, 14:49 into the first period, proves to be the game winner. Pekka Rinne, who just signed a 2-year contract extension, celebrates it by putting up a shutout against Boston. Predators now have 11 wins on the campaign. The Bruins are now at 16 points.
Just to inject real fast, we need to get Rocket saying reticulating splines.
In Vegas, the Knights shut out the Scott Darling-led Carolina Hurricanes 3-0. Hunt, Reeves, and Carrier get the goals for Vegas. Marc-Andre Fleury with the shutout. Vegas goes to 6-7-1, have 13 points on the campaign. The Hurricanes 6-6-2, and hoping that they can make a trade for William Nylander. In Calgary, the Flames knock off the Chicago Blackhawks 5-3. Michael Backlund with the shorthanded goal at the end. Frolik gets credit for the game-winning goal. Monahan, Tkachuk, and Monahan gets two goals. Taves, Ruta, and Saad get goals for Chicago, but not enough as Corey Crawford takes the loss for the Hawks. Hold the phone. Hold the phone, folks. This just in, the Los Angeles Kings have won a game.
The Kings. I was hoping you were going to say they lost again. That would have been cool.
That would have been cool. You know, what would have been cooler is if Dustin Brown didn't score shorthanded. Dustin Brown Anji Kopitar, Jeff Carter, and Alex Iafallo. They all get goals for LA. Zach Marinsky got the only goal for the Blue Jackets as Bobrovsky is off the case in this one in LA. 4-1 the final. The Kings go to 4-8-1. The Blue Jackets at 7-6. The Flyers lose in a overtime to the Sharks 4-3. And that is your wraparound at the moment.
That was one of the longest reach rounds I've ever had.
I'm glad I can service you like that.
Indeed.
Yes. Looking just briefly at the standings right now. Calgary at 19, Vancouver at 18, Edmonton at 17, San Jose currently holding down. No, that can't be right. That can't be right.
Oh, it's got to be right. It's the way all predicted it. Can it, all the Canadian teams in the top three seeds?
No, but they have San Jose listed at 15 points, and then underneath it says Dallas at 16. So, way to go.
I'm looking forward to when the Canucks finally come back down to earth. I need to follow LOL Vancouver on Twitter again, because I can't wait to see all the fans who thought that this mirage is actually water.
To which we say, did somebody say Vancouver?
Oh, man, I don't know.
I knew I was going to regret. Why do I even come here?
Yeah, because you love it.
So, I'm a glutton for punishment.
So, alrighty. So let's see what's going on in the chat. Pedersen. Yeah, Vancouver with Pedersen has been awesome. And Kevin, you are absolutely right. To be fair, we said this about Vegas this time last year too. So who knows? Vancouver's on a roll. Maybe they just needed the Sedins to retire.
Man, the chat is full of nostalgia. This is Nostalgia After Dark Night. I see Pogs and I see Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh.
I'm just waiting for Tamagotchis then.
I'm surprised Tamagotchis haven't gotten a mention.
Right.
See Brown Table Pizza video games like The Simpsons Pinball and yep, good times.
Yeah, Travis McLean mentioning Vancouver's goaltending is a joke. They will fall to earth.
I mean, they don't look as over their skis as the Ducks did when they were like allowing 2/3 of the shots to go against them. It's like, yeah, that's not sustainable.
Yeah. Answering the question, I think Zach, our good friend Zach, mentioned earlier, but also Skylar Greenberg is mentioning it as well. So can Timo win the Rocket?
I have a hard time believing he's going to be able to sustain that kind of shooting percentage.
Great.
Crazier things have happened. I forget what William Karlsson's percentage was last season. I know it was pretty high. I think it was at least in the teens. It was pretty high. So crazier things have happened. But I mean, if he pots 30, 35 goals this season, that's a great year for him. And, it's not just him on that line. Like, he's a big part of that. But, I mean, Hurdle and Couture at the top of their game as well. So I just want to see that line score and produce, because right now the rest of the team is pretty iffy in that department.
William Karlsson had a 23.4% shooting.
Okay, well, you can sustain it over a whole season. It is possible.
But it's
unlikely. Yeah, it's unlikely.
It's crazy to have it, man.
Anything can happen. I mean, if you even if his shooting percentage drops off, I mean, there's plenty of games left. If he pots a few more goals, pots another 5 goals and then has the shooting percentage go down, I mean, anything's possible if you can ride that, if you can basically use that hot start and still keep a decent, 10-15% for the rest of the year, you could definitely make a case for it. I just think it's, knowing the other goal scorers that are out there, I think what Timo's done is great, but I'm not ready to make my glasses that teal.
Yeah, at least, I mean, if he's still on that pace, if he's at 30-ish goals at midseason, then, he might just, if he pots, at that point, yeah, just potting at a normal rate might get him the league lead, but I would say probably not.
Yeah, in looking at the chat, a lot of people asking for Hurdle. Again, to reiterate, DeBoer mentioned that no update on Hurdle, except that he suffered a head injury tonight.
And a question in the chat was, what was Chichu's shooting percentage in his year, 50-goal year? It was 17.7. So also a little abnormally high. Like, not crazy abnormally high, but still, you know, normal league shooting percentage is going to fall usually somewhere between, you know, overall, the whole league is going to fall usually somewhere between 6 and 10%. So it's unlikely, if you're more than 10%, it's unlikely you sustain that long term. You know, so sometimes over a season, but definitely not over multiple seasons.
Right. Like William Karlsson, I think, shooting percentage right now. Let's find out.
Probably a lot lower, especially given the results the Knights have gotten.
Right.
Mm-hmm. William Karlsson. Well, so many Karlssons, man.
Too many Karlssons.
And don't forget, the Sharks also have Linus Karlsson.
That's true. So William Karlsson with his 3 goals and 7 assists is shooting 14.3.
Still actually on the higher side. So, I mean, I assume he's just not taking as many shots, but I mean, he's having a decent year at this point. That's 10 points. That's not bad. I mean, I haven't watched enough Vegas to tell you what the issue is. I do know that at least through a handful of games, their PDO was one of the worst in the league. So definitely weren't getting a lot of good luck on their bounces and stuff. So, you know, I expect them in the end, they'll be right there in the fight. I think Vancouver is going to fall back down to earth.
In Travis McLean mentioning in the chat, so which of the three on that line makes the All-Star game? Hurdle, Couture, or Meyer?
They'll make it.
If at the rate that they're scoring and obviously making sure Hurdle is okay, I could see like two.
I'm not really worried about Hurdle. I mean, I feel like we see this all the time where it's like, if there's even like the remote questionable of a hit, like they never announce anything until after the Department of Player Safety decides if there's going to be a hearing or not, because we all know, like, even though they're a team we're not going to see again this year, I feel like this is the thing NHL teams do all the time, is they won't say anything until the hearing's been announced. And if there's no hearing announced, he'll be magically fine.
Yep. Yeah. So Davalo saying Vancouver's high end this year is the second wild card. No chance the Canucks can continue to get shellacked night in, night out and not have their offense go cold. Yep, that's true. So
I mean, Pettersson's been such a beast for them. But I mean, it seemed like when Pettersson was out, like a lot of their other guys suddenly went really cold really quick too, so
gotcha.
I think there's only.
Hey guys, we need a little more energy here. It's 5:05 in the morning. Traffic and weather together. Yeah, AJ wants to pick up the energy.
All right,
come on.
We're looking at 680 moving looking smoothly.
I did not need my eardrums blown out there, sir.
Well, hey, you wanted to wake people up. I'm trying to wake people up. It's 11:07 at night, and I need to get some sleep too. But let's take a look at the traffic and weather together on the H.
So we should probably hit next game and then get the hell out of here, because yes, it is late, because apparently we're low energy.
We are.
Sorry, yeah. low energy, Eric.
I'm slow, sorry. Ian. Well, how about if I
quiet show, Chris?
How about if I show this off? Will that get the energy going here? Make sure you look for the special pack on sjsharks.com, where you can get tickets to Tuesday night's game against Minnesota, along with this beautiful replica of the shark head. So definitely check that out. You know, you guys have seen me play with this a couple of times going. So there you go. So
Skylar Greenberg in the chat is trying to summon Alex Martinet. He just said Niemi 3 times.
Oh boy, see, you don't do that. You don't want to do that. So so Sharks, Minnesota. It should be a good one. With Minnesota coming in, Eric Staal scored his 400th goal today. Ian, set us up. What do you expect with Minnesota coming to town?
Oh, man, Minnesota's just such a lame team. Like, I know it's terrible to say, because, I mean, they're in the playoffs. Like, they're actually doing surprisingly well, but they're just, like, the most they're just the most basic team. They're just, yep, they've got a goalie, they've got defensemen. There's nothing really special about Minnesota, like I find. Like, they're just such a boring team. But no, I mean, look, they're off to a good start. You know, they've won two of their last, they've won their last two. They're 7-2-1 over the last 10 games. So, you know, the Sharks should be expecting a fight. I think, you know, Dubnyk's been pretty good for them. And, you know, they're hanging in a very tough division right now in second place. So I wouldn't look too far past them, as boring as I think they are as a team.
I will just simply add to that by quoting Skylar Greenberg in the chat. Minnesota is a hockey team.
Yeah, they are. Like, I just...
They hockey.
Nothing special about them, in my opinion.
I've reached out to our friend over there, this Brave in the Wild podcast, see if we might be able to do a little quick preview or something. So keep an eye out for that. They'll probably go up on the gram or something similar. But you should check the Instagram every game, because AJ has a little preview he puts up there. If you need more AJ in your life, follow the Instagram. Yeah. If you need a lot of AJ in your life, follow AJ.
Yes.
You can even stalk him. Like, I can tell you where he lives.
The Wow. Wild, more like the Minnesota Mile. That's how I feel. Like, they're just kind of there. There's
so blasé.
Yeah, like, I mean, they've got some good players, but I don't think, like, I don't feel like there's any, like, real big superstar. Like, and maybe I'll catch them hell for that, and that's fine. But, like, I just feel like, you know, they've got stars, but no real superstars. They're just a team that's just kind of there.
I really like that. The Minnesota Mild. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. I will say that very, very impressive, Mr. Ian. So I'll definitely give you credit for that. Well, if in case you missed anything, you want to watch this again, make sure you check us out on Teal Town USA or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Of course, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We thank you all for subscribing immensely. Truly appreciate it. And we look forward for more of you to tell your friends, tell your non-friends, tell your kids that have secret YouTube accounts.
Tell your Russian bots.
No, let's not.
Russian bots must be always.
Yeah, the interfering in NHL podcast. It's a real problem.
Yes. And with that, we will put a close to this one by saying, Chris, thank you for joining us in between flights.
I try.
Your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at ChrisJWS. I tweet on there occasionally. Half the time I'm tweeting from airplanes and airports and stuff, but I'm occasionally in California. My final thoughts is, you know, we're still kind of seeing the good and the bad of the Sharks. We're not really seeing that consistency. I'm hoping, really hoping, they can get on a roll at some point here. Because this team is too talented to waddle around in this good enough category. Because, I mean, they're good enough to hang in there right now. They should be able to start rolling out wins at some point here. And I think they will.
All right. To answer AJ, the interrogation light. No, I'm in stealth mode. Thank you very much.
Why the lights sound low here? It's a little bit more romantic.
Yes. Someone cue up Careless Whisperer after we go off the air. So there you go. Skylar Greenberg, is PDB a terrible coach? He got the team to a Stanley Cup final, so no.
Yes.
Okay, Ian, your final thoughts with that, and where the people can find you.
Look, sometimes wins despite Peter DeBoer, and sometimes not, because I'm not saying Peter DeBoer is completely terrible, but he's done some really head scratchy things lately that I just don't understand, and I don't want to understand, because if I understand them, then maybe I will be less smart for it. You can find me on the Twitter machine at Ian Blogs Hockey. I also do this other podcast called Teal Tinted Glasses, or at least I did at one point. At some point, we will return. I'm hoping next weekend.
That podcast is fake news.
Yeah, that podcast is really fake news of late, because I don't think we've done one since the start of the season. I'm hoping to rectify that this upcoming weekend. So Look forward to that. Other than that, yeah, I tweet about hockey and I say things like San Jose Sharks won, PDB zero after they win.
And if you say anything bad about Kevin LeBanc, he will come up.
I will find you.
He will look up your location. So you better not have any locations attached to your tweets.
Yeah. Right. I will find you.
I will find you. It's a very particular set of skills.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I have to account, damn it. Oh, I will find you and I will yell at you through YouTube.
Respect the LeBanc. Anyways, take us home, Eric.
All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at PuckGuy14. Doing all kinds of stuff. If you haven't checked out my Twitter, Instagram, I put up the movie poster for tonight's game for Star Wars Night. So definitely appreciate the kind of the kudos and the likes, all kinds. Of course, we will be back with you Tuesday night when the Sharks take on the Minnesota Wild. It's Shark Head Figure Night. Make sure you hit sgsharks.com/promotions for details on how you can get yours. But be back here, no matter where you watch this, home and away, preseason, regular season, postseason, on Teal Town After Dark. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you hit that bell that notifies you when we go on the air. And of course, hit us up on tealtownusa.com. We will see you Tuesday night after the Sharks and Wild. And until then, keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal. Good night, everyone.